Start a brand new series called Increase. How many looking for increase? How many believe that 2020 is your year of increase? I believe it. I believe it. I believe God's going to do some tremendous things this year. And so I believe that God is going to do something tremendous. And if your heart is open this morning, God's going to speak to you. I believe that God's going to speak to you here today. Amen. I believe that God wants to release increase within our lives. If that's you, say amen. I believe that he wants to release increase into our lives really because he wants to advance his kingdom. The increase is only to advance the things that he wants to advance. And I believe that that's what he wants to do here this morning. He wants to increase us so that we could advance the kingdom of God. You know that, it's funny, I started looking up this word, increase. You know what increase means? It means enlargement. It means growth. How many want growth? It means expansion. How many want to expand, right? We want to expand. Extension. It also means multiplication. How many need multiplication in your finances? Ooh, come on. Multiplication. It also means addition. Also means addition. So I believe that every single one of us, we want increase. Somebody say, I want increase. Tell your neighbor, I want increase. I believe every single one of us wants increase. I want us to look at a scripture here today. It's found in Psalms 115, verse 12. And when you got it, say, I got it. And 9 o'clock service, I need you to speak back to me, okay? I need your energy. I need whatever strength you got. I need it this morning. Can you turn this one on for me? And I need you to talk back. I need you to be in this with me. I am so pumped about this word here today that I need to deliver it properly, but I need you with me, okay? So Psalms 115, verse 12, when you got it, say, I got it. The Bible reads like this. This is so good. Watch. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. Somebody say, he knows about me. He says this, he will bless you or bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those that fear the Lord. Come on, somebody. Both small and great. Hello, come on. Both small and great. May the Lord give you increase. Somebody say increase. More and more. You and your children. Somebody say the blessing keeps running. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Father, we come before you. I pray that you will bless this time in your word, Father. I believe, God, that we are heading into a season of increase within our lives. Things that have lacked, God, are no longer going to lack within our lives. Father, I pray, God, that you release increase as I begin to speak your word. Let me decrease, God, so that you could speak right through me. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. The Bible reads like this. We just read this. He said, the Lord will bless you. This is God's promises for our lives, that the Lord wants to bless you here today. The Bible says they're very clear that he will bless those who fear the Lord. How many fear the Lord here today? He said, I'm going to bless those that fear me, both small and great. In other words, it doesn't matter what level you're at. He said, I'm going to bless those that are small, and I'm going to bless those that are great. And I love what he says. He says that, may the Lord give you increase more. Somebody say more. Tell your neighbor, because they didn't hear you in the back, say more. And now to the person next to you, and more. He says he wants to bless you more, but not only more, but he wants to put an and more on it. How many want that and more? I need that and more on me. I don't just need more. I need the and more on my life. I believe that the blessing that God wants to bring, the increase that God wants to bring, is not just a small increase, but he wants to bring an abundant increase within our lives. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Somebody say, he blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now, when you read that scripture, the Bible, from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible said that he blessed them. From the very beginning, you and I were always to be blessed. When you read the Bible in Genesis, that's the law of first beginnings. So in other words, there's the law of first mentions. And so this is the first mention of man being blessed by God. When he looks at man, he says, I will bless them. God wants to bless our lives. When you see that, the Lord said to them, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, he's speaking to them in a level of increase. He's saying, I'm going to bless you. But then God specifically tells them to them, he says, be fruitful and multiply. You know that we've been called to increase. We have literally been called to, if you're a child of God here today, you've been called to increase. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. In other words, bring increase. When I begin to look at that, I begin to see that God's plan has always been a plan of increase. I think some people need to know that this morning. Somebody say, God's plan has always been a plan of increase. Say it one more time. Say, God's plan has always been a plan of increase. Oh, I don't think you got it yet. You need to see increase, like increase, okay? God's plan, there you go, has always been a plan of increase. Now you got to get that in your spirit a little bit. God's plan has always been a plan of increase. From the very beginning of creation, it was a plan of increase. When you think about the trees that he planted the trees, but also he planted the fruit inside the tree, right? That when it produced something, it produced a way of increase. In other words, he gave it seed, and that seed was a seed of increase. Come on, somebody, stay with me. But in the same way, when he looked at man, he said, man will be multiplying itself, and man will be fruitful. Let me ask you, have you been fruitful lately? Have you been multiplying lately? If not, it's okay, because God's plan is a plan of increase. And whatever God's plan will be true in your life. But I also understand that the enemy also has a plan. God's plan is a plan of increase, and the enemy's plan is a plan of decrease. He is a plan of decrease. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says this. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and destroy. Look at this. I have come that you may have life and have it more. What? What? Wait, wait. God's plan was what? More? In other words, my plan has always been a plan of increase. But the enemy comes, the thief comes, and he comes to steal the increase. He comes to kill the increase. He comes to destroy the increase within our lives. And I think that most of us, we have to come to that realization that the enemy is after your increase. Why? Because it was always God's command for us to multiply. It was always God's command for us to flourish in your ministry, at your workplace, in your family. You were always called to flourish. But the devil is a thief and the devil is a liar. And I'm here to expose them that we are no longer going to decrease. But my friend, we are people of increase here this morning. We're not going to decrease no more. We're not going to go back into our shelters. We're not going to go back into our insecurities. My friend, it's time for increase. Somebody shout increase. Come on, shout it. Say increase. It's time for increase. The devil's been messing with you. And if he's been messing with you, it's because he's scared of the increase in your life. If he's been attacking you, it's because you got something that he don't want you to realize. The only reason why thieves come into certain houses is because they know you got something. They don't go break into, you know, whatever. They don't go break into broke, jacked up houses. They go to the nice neighborhoods. Like, oh, I'm gonna hop the fence, right? I'm gonna go in, because they know they got something, right? A good thief knows that when you got something, right? But in the same way, the enemy is a thief, and if he's messing with you, if he's messing with your thoughts, if he's trying to hold you back, if he's trying to keep you away from something, then you got to realize, if he's messing with me, it's probably because I'm about to step into an area of increase that he doesn't want me to get into. Some of you are going to step into a new increase of an anointing. Some of you are going to step into a new increase of your ministry, a new increase of leadership, a new increase where God is going to use you in a tremendous way. How many believe that? Oh, come on, I need you to catch this. I'm preaching good. There's a few steps that I would like to share with you that I found in the book of Luke in order to get this increase. How many want to know how to get this increase? We understand that God has promised this increase, but I want to give you some steps that I found, and I think that they're really, really important for us to understand. Now, this year for our church is going to be a year of development. So not only do I want to hype you up and I want to, you know, preach inspirational messages, but I also want to give you tools to help you develop this year. This year you will increase, says the Lord. So I believe that here today in the book of Luke, I found a couple interesting things. And we can look here today at Simon Peter and how the Lord prepared him for increase. How many want to be prepared for increase? How many want that increase? Okay, the Bible says here in Luke chapter 5, I want you to turn your Bibles there, and there's an awesome story there that I found, and I want to share it with you here today. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, when you got it, say, I got it. Are you with me? Isn't this a good word? Good word, right? Okay, the Bible says this. One day Jesus was preaching at the shore at the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. For the fishermen had left them, and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Then he had finished speaking. He said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets Let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked all last night and didn't catch anything. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. At this time, their nets were so full of fish, it began to tear. Somebody say increase. So he shouted out to help from their partners from the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. I don't know if you see increase there, but I see some increase happening right there in this story. And I was blown away by this story because I feel like this story is so, so key for increase. Now, there's a couple things that I've noticed here today. The Bible says that Jesus was on the shore and he was preaching. And as he was preaching, he noticed. Somebody say he noticed. I believe that here this morning, he notices you. You are not too far from him that he will notice you. The Bible says that he was speaking to the crowds, but at the same time he's speaking to the crowds, he notices something. I'm here to tell you, you might feel like Jesus is paying more attention to something else at the time. You might feel like everybody else is getting the goods, but I'm here to tell you, he still notices you here today. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, man, why is the blessings all? Why are you always speaking to him, God? Where's mine at? I'm here to tell you, he still notices you. You are not too far from his vision. You are not too far from where he can see, my friend. The Bible says here that he noticed two empty boats. Somebody say two empty ones. He notices two empty boats. I don't know about you, but have you ever came up short? I come up short since I was 9 years old. I stopped growing at 9. Leanne says she stopped growing at 14. I was like, damn, girl, you grew a lot. But two empty boats, I started tripping on that. Because in life, there are going to be moments where we feel empty. There's going to be moments where we feel decreased. Hello. There's going to be moments where we feel like, man, ain't nothing working in my life right now. You know what these two boats represented? It represented a season of lack. It represented a season of being depleted. Come on, somebody. A season of being dry, where the boats were supposed to go out in the water. They were actually on the shore in a dry place. There's going to be moments in your walk where you will feel dry. I guarantee it. For the last 20-some years, I've been serving the Lord, and there have been moments of dryness. But I've learned how to call down the rain in my life whenever I felt dry. I've learned how to tap into the increase of God's Spirit in my life. That's how I stay energetic. That's how I stay with a smile on my face. That's why I don't let your trials bother me. Hello, somebody. I just take them to prayer and say, God, help them. Because you know I can't, right? But what happens is I learn how to have seasons to go even deeper. So when you think about this word empty, I begin to look at some of the synonyms for this word. It means to be exhausted. How many felt exhausted? Sometimes ministry is exhausting. Sometimes talking is exhausting, right? Sometimes being a part of what God wants to do is exhausting, right? Or you have exhausted it. It also could mean barren. Oh, hello. It could also mean barren. When I looked up this word empty, I saw barren there. And I was like, wait a minute. Whoa, that's a trip. Because barrenness, what it really means, it means there's a time where you're not bringing forth anything. There's no increase. Come on. There's barrenness within your life. And sometimes there will be seasons where there is not, you feel like nothing is happening. Am I talking to anybody? You feel like there's nothing happening. We're doing it right. Everything's, we're doing the right things, but nothing seems to be happening. I feel barren. Come on, somebody. You know what barrenness brings sometimes? When you feel like nothing is happening, it could bring depression. When you feel like, God, I'm not fruitful, I'm not multiplying, because that's what God's command is for our lives. So when we're not living up to that, we feel like useless. We feel like, what am I doing here? Why am I even in this ministry? Why am I even coming to church? Hello. I'm just going to park my boat right here on the shore. And I'm going to stay dry. But barrenness brings seasons into our lives that we begin to see things. Barrenness could bring the ugly out you. Oh, you ain't here. Barrenness could bring the ugly out you. Here, I'm irritated with all these leaders. What, bro, what's wrong with you? I'm barren, right? Like, dang, you on that decrease. You need to get around some increase, right? You're complaining, man. Relax, bro. I'm going to help you out. But there's seasons that it brings ugliness. You know, when you're barren, it seems like nothing's flowing, like nothing's happening. Feels like nothing's working, right? You ever felt that way? Well, I believe that there's a lot of times where our lives where we feel empty, just like these two boats. These two boats at the time were feeling empty. At the time that we're just on the shore, the time that we're just there, but Jesus takes notice. Jesus takes notice of the empty boats on the water's edge, and he steps into the boats. But before he does, there's something else that I want to make mention here today, that even though the boats were empty, I could see the owners of the boats. What they were doing is they were washing their nets. So as they walked away from their boats, they went to another place to wash their nets. I'm here to tell you, regardless if you're empty or full, there's always something that we need to take care of, and that is our nets. When I see them being great stewards of whatever they have. They were actually being great managers of their nets. In other words, I came up empty this season, but I'm still going to take care of the things that God has given me. Just because you're going through it does not mean that you stop praying. Just because you're going through a trial doesn't mean you stop reading. Doesn't mean that you stop connecting. Doesn't mean that you stop fellowshipping. You gotta still steward the very things that God has given your life. Oh, am I preaching to anybody this morning? They were being stewards of their nets. They were washing their nets. And I believe that because they were stewards, something is happening. Now, this is one step that I believe that God wants us to take care of if you want increase. This is what Peter is doing. Peter is saying, I'm still washing my nets regardless of what's happening within my life. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, the Bible says this. His master said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in the little. Now I will put you over much. If you want increase, you got to take care of what you do got. If you want increase, be faithful in the little you do got. You might have a little ministry, be faithful in it. I'm here to tell you, there's a season coming where increase will happen in that ministry. You might say, man, my ministry is small right now. My family is small right now. Salvation's not really taking place in my family. Be faithful in the little and watch God bring the increase within your life. See, what he was doing is he was washing his nets. He didn't know when the next season was coming, but he knew there was another season coming. A lot of us, we think that season is the end of it. They're like, ah, that's a rough season. That's it. I'm walking away, throwing the towel, forget it. No, there's always seasons. I love fishing. I remember there was times where certain fish would come in seasons. So in other words, I would prepare for the season. If that fish wasn't there, then I wasn't bringing that big old, you know, tuna pole. I'm only fishing for trout. What do I need a tuna pole for, right? But you got to prepare for the next season. Somebody say, my next season's about to arrive. I got to move quick. Okay, next season's about to arrive. They were washing their nets. They were being good stewards. The next thing I see here, not only were they washing their nets, that's number one, you got to be a good steward of what you got. The second thing I see is that Jesus pushed into the water. Now, he pushed it to the water. Jesus asked Peter, can I use what you got? In other words, Jesus had a problem. The Bible says that all the crowds were there, and Jesus needed to use something so he could make some distance to speak to the crowd. Jesus always is requiring something for us. And he says, I noticed the two empty boats, even as I'm speaking. I noticed that they're washing their nets. He's noticing everything. He knows whose boats they are. So as he's washing their nets, they probably got done washing their nets, put the nets back on the boat. All of a sudden, he goes, here's my opportunity. They're still being good stewards. Their season was dry. Their season was empty. Their season was barren. But I see the opportunity. They're still being faithful. They're still doing what they got to do. And now I'm about to step into their boat and ask them to step out into the water a little bit more. Right? So what we have to understand is that when we're looking for increase, we have to be willing to push out a little bit more. I believe that God is asking us to push out into the water a little bit more. God wants to know, can I use what you got? Can I use what you got? For David, it was a sling, right? For Moses, it was his staff. For the widow, it was the amount of oil she had for that miracle. Come on, somebody. For the young boy to feed 5,000, it was his lunch. But for you here today, what is God asking to use in your life? What does God want to use in your life? Is it your ability? Is it your passion? Is it your willingness? Is it your smile? Is it your leadership? What is it that God wants to use and say, can I step into your world and whatever you got, can I use it so that I could preach from it? Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. Can I use what you got so that I could step in and I could have a voice right where you are? In that place of emptiness, can I step in there so that I could be a voice through there? I think God wants to use a lot of our issues, a lot of our barrenness, a lot of our emptiness to step in and say, at one time I was jacked up, at one time I didn't have hope, but God will speak through your emptiness. He says, can I use that? I don't need to have it all together. Can I just use what you do got? Tell me what you do got so that I could step in and I could use it. I believe that if we're taking steps to increase, we got to be willing to give Jesus access to what we do got. You got to give him access. You got to give him access. You got to give him the keys to the very thing that you say, not this one. No, give him access. Some of us, we don't give him the keys to our hearts. We don't give him the keys to our life. That's why we're taking so long to develop. But if you gave them access, you would see these guys flying. You would see these guys on a roll. You would see people rising up in this building. Why? Because you have given God full access here today. You know, the other day I was with Pastor Tim and Sister Doreen, and we wanted to get backstage to go see Kanye. We went to go see Kanye and the Sunday service choir. They were amazing, by the way. And so we were there. And Pastor Tim, you know, he's a mover. If you know him, he's a mover. He's like, come on, we need to do this, Doreen. We're going to get in there because we're trying to make connections with him. And he goes, man, I need access to that backstage so I could talk to him, right? And I would see these people walk by, but all they had was a little badge. All they had was a little badge, and they would walk back and say, I go, Pastor Tim, you want me to snatch one of them badges? He said, no, I don't want you to go to jail. But when you give someone access, they have access to whatever. And they can roll wherever they want, full access, right? I think Jesus needs full access in your life. He needs full access. He needs to step into your word. Are you still with me? I got to move quickly. All right. Push into the water, right? As he pushes into the water, the Bible says this. He says, now go where it is deeper. Somebody say, I'm about to go into the deep. I'm here to tell you, the deeper you go with the Lord, the greater the increase is going to be. The deeper you go with God, the greater the increase in your life. The next step for increase is go deeper. You got to go deeper in the Lord. I believe that we have to go deeper in Christ. I'm going to share a little bit more. I'll share a little bit more on that one on the 11 o'clock service. You could podbeam it later. The next one is, I believe that as you go deeper, what happens is Peter begins to look at them, at Jesus, and says, Master, Simon replied, he said, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch anything. We worked hard all last night and didn't catch anything. You know what I trip out on that part right there? Is that, you know, a lot of times we block the increase. We block what God wants to do with that one portion right there. He said, I worked hard all last night. Some of us stop right there. You don't have increase because you have excuses. You don't have increase because when God is asking you to go deeper, we have excuses. You know what I trip out on that? He says, I work hard. In other words, I worked 40 hours a week, and you still want me to go deeper? Some of us think because we work, we can't do ministry. You know, for the last 2 years is the only 2 years that I've ever done full-time ministry. The last 2 years. Before that, I've owned a business. Before that, I worked. Before that, I worked 40 hours, 45 hours, 55 hours. When I had my business, I worked 60 hours and then go and still have time to go deeper. You have no excuses because you have a pastor that has literally been there. Only 2 years full-time ministry. The whole 20-something years, I worked hard. But I never said, God, I'm not willing to go deeper because I've been working. Oh, that's a good word for some of you. Okay, you work. I get it. I work too. But I still did it. I was still able to see increase. I was still able to say, God, use me at a greater capacity. I was still able to see God elevate me in the midst of that. In the midst of working, I became a pastor. In the midst of working, I became a gang regional. In the midst of working, I became all those things. In the midst of working. I look at Pastor Rich. Pastor Rich works. But yet, look at God elevating this man. God is doing something. So let me ask you, what is blocking your increase this morning? Is it an excuse? Is it that you don't give them access? Is it that you say, nah, I'm not ready to go deeper. I'm not ready for that. I don't want that. I'm not feeling that right now. My friend, be careful, because the deeper you go, the greater the increase. My friend, if you stay in the shallow things of God, you're going to find yourself in a place of decrease in your life. It's time to get off of that shore and say, God, I'm going for more. Somebody say, I'm going for more. I love what he says. He says, but if you say so, in other words, he got over the excuse, and he said the very next sentence, but if you say so, but if you say so, I think you need to start listening to what God has been telling you in your life and say, but if you say so. You know, our opening scripture said that he wants to bring increase into our lives. He wants to bring that increase into our lives. The next step that we need to do is we need to get rid of the excuses, and then we need to go into the point where we say, God, but if you say so. If you want increase, you got to say, God, if you said it, then I believe it. Why do you question? Why do you keep looking? God, is it really true? Can you really mean me? Yes, it's you. There's increase for your life. I believe that that's what the Lord wants to do. Bible says that he goes out, and as he goes out, they drop the net. Literally, if you say so, the very next thing he says, they drop their net, and they started catching the increase. They said this thing was so big, it was so massive, that all of a sudden, they started looking around and saying, dude, we're about to sink. Dude, God showed up, we're about to sink. Peter started yelling at his friends, probably the other guy with the empty boat, because there was two. Hey, I'm glad you followed me, because we're about to experience increase like never before. He said, come over closer. Put down your net. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, both of these boats had such a great catch. Such a great catch. You know what increase does? Increase starts overflowing into those that are connected to you. If you want increase, you better get around somebody that has increase. If you want increase in your life, you need to get around somebody that's on fire, somebody that's passionate, somebody that's excited about the things of God. Don't get around people that are struggling. Because if they struggle, you're going to struggle. But if you're strong enough to say, God, I know what I need. I know who I need to be around. God, I need the fire of God in my life because I want increase. Get around somebody that has their net in the water. Somebody that has their net in the deep. And say, can I get something that you got? I want more. He said, I'm going to bring increase. I'm going to bring more. Do you remember what I told you in the beginning? More. And? I said more. And? Peter had the more. But his buddies had the and more. Peter had the more. He said, I got a load. But I got and more coming right now. I need some people to rise with the and more. I need some people to have so much increase that you say, come on, I got and more coming to my life. I got so much, I want to give more. I want to do more. I want to pour my life before God. The and more. I believe God is wanting to do something special within your life. He wants to bring the increase. He wants to bring the and more. He wants you to overflow into the person next to you. He wants it to overflow into your family. You know, it's a trip. when Peter started getting all this, the very next thing Peter does, he bows down and says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You know what John writes? John the Baptist says this. He was the one to pave the way for the Lord. But he said, I must decrease so that he may increase. The way to increase is always down. When you realize that your increase was never meant just for you, you bow down and say, God, I am not worthy to be used the way you're using me. Psalm 62 verse 10 says this. This is an awesome scripture to always check us. It says, and if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. If your wealth increases, we all want to increase. The Lord has called us to increase. The Lord wants to bless us with the increase. But he said, I'm going to do it. But don't make just the increase the center of your life. I want to be the center of your life. I want to be the center of where you stand. If you want the increase to keep running over, if you want the increase, the very next step is to go down and say, God, I'm not worthy. You deserve the glory. They come back to shore. And he says, from now on, you're going to be a fisher of men. At once, he left what he thought was increase, and he followed increase. He followed him. He said, I'm going to follow. I'm going to be your disciple. I want to learn from you. I think many of us here today, we just stop at the increase. God, give me the increase. No, my friend, it's not always about just the increase. It's about who he is. It's about who he is. If I lose sight of God in the midst of our increase in the church, you know where we're going? Backwards. But if I keep him the center, God, it's you. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You're going to bring the increase. You're bringing the finances. You're bringing the leaders. You're raising it up. I'm telling you, when you give God the glory, he's going to exalt you even higher and higher and higher because he knows that you can handle it. Has God spoken to you here this morning? Lift your hands all over this place. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.